based on one of Bud's book. There was a character in there, Richard Crenna, played John Mack in that film, literally. But what I have...
Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. Ordinarily, we'd be broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, deep within the earth in an undisclosed location. But tonight, we're not. We're actually broadcasting from the ET Spirit New Science and New Technologies conference here in Shasta. Now, it's an incredible conference here. Is that the Siskiyou College here?
Oh.
College of the Siskiyous here in Shasta, and it's an incredible auditorium. The speaker lineup here is just awesome. And we actually premiered, again, the new movie, Contact Has Begun, with James Gillen, and it was a great hit with a standing ovation. So it's just incredible how this thing is taking off. We've got all kinds of articles being written on it, and it's going to be moving out into your local theaters pretty soon. But anyway, there's some incredible guests here. We're going to have them popping in and out. Actually, Brooks Agnew, who I've had on the show quite a few times, is doing a lecture right now as we speak. And a lot of the other speakers are in there watching his lecture. He's got like a captive audience. So hopefully a little later they'll be wandering out. But right now I've got Shalimar, who is the... what'd you call yourself? The head honcho, the producer of the conference here with us. They'd talk a little bit about the conference and any upcoming events, but he can talk about the different speakers that he's had here, and we can go from there. So Shalimar, why don't you take it away and tell us about how this conference is going and about some of the speakers that we've had.
Well, for all of you out there, you're missing the most amazing conference. We have the most phenomenal group of presenters, I think, that's ever been assembled. And the energy has been phenomenal. The presentations have been incredible. We started on Thursday, and it's just been one thing after another. It's just been building and building and building.
Who are some of the speakers that have come to this conference?
Some of the main speakers that we've had here are J.J. and Desiree Hertak. We've had Dr. Brian O'Leary, an ex-astronaut. We've had Wendell Stevens, Kim Sheridan, Dr. Patrick Flanagan. As James said, Brooks is speaking right now, Brooks Agnew. Had, we're not finished.
Yeah. I think it's important to talk about Sunday, because Sunday there's still time to come to this conference and check out speakers, and we actually have Shalimar opening up with some very inspirational music. It takes you through the roof. It's pretty awesome. And then Michal Ledwith is coming on at 9 o'clock, and everybody knows Michal. He was a bishop and an advisor to the Pope, and he's had several books and DVDs out, and just incredible presenter. He's going to be talking. I don't know what he's going to be talking about, more about the true life of Jesus, or if he's going to be talking about orbs or ultra-dimensional or what, but it's totally unlimited, you know, what he goes into. And after that, after lunch, we're actually having David Icke It is Ike, right?
Yeah.
Everybody keeps
Ike.
Mispronouncing that, and there we go. It's Ike, it's Ike, and everybody's arguing.
It's Ike.
So having met the man myself last night at dinner, it is David Ike. So we did settle that one. I asked him if he was keeping an eye on the Queen, and he wanted me to come over there and take care of business, but he said that they have things in order. So, anyway, a little bad humor there.
You know, the thing about David tomorrow is he's unveiling a completely brand new workshop.
Oh, great. Now, is he doing a talk or a workshop as well?
Well, his talk is a workshop.
So it is a workshop.
Anywhere from 4 to 6 hours.
Boy, that's going to be a long one. And then I have to get some, I'm going to sneak some food in on that.
No, there's breaks every 2 hours.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just been an incredible conference so far. There's some of the, Patrick Flanagan had a great dissertation here on frequencies and showed us a lot of different frequencies and how they affect the body and the mind, and it was pretty incredible. But unfortunately, I've been trying to get in. I've been listening to some of these talks, but I've been kind of stuck at the booth with my ear around the corner listening as they go on. But I haven't been able to see all of them. I'll probably end up picking up all the DVDs just so I can see them. And now people can buy these DVDs after the conference, can't they?
They'll be online.
They're online. And how would they go and get some to see some of these talks or purchase these DVDs?
In about a week, it'll be up online on ShalimarProductions.com.
Okay. And that'll be all of the speakers that we've talked about. But I would really suggest coming, if you can, if you're anywhere near that Mount Shasta area, to come and actually see this yourself. It's amazing. We're probably going to sneak off here and do some sky watches late at night, the next couple of nights, probably Sunday and Monday, and see if we can vector some shifts in and get some.
And there have been some shifts.
You know, I was just talking to a young kid out here, and he said that he saw 15 shifts just the other night. And so, the shifts are flying around here right now. I'm sure they're supporting this conference and supporting the consciousness and energy here. And, you know, I'll bet this auditorium is full of force right now.
Oh, it is, too.
When I first came here, the energy was kind of heavy, you know, because it is a college, you know, but, you know, they do have some very left-brain curriculum, you might say. Something we call recycled ignorance. But with the information we're bringing into this auditorium and the energy and the consciousness, I'm sure this is going to be altering the frequencies of this, of the whole campus here. Wendell Steven put on a couple presentations, some awesome presentations, and J.J. Hertak as well. I slipped J.J. some brand-new footage, so he's going to be showing that pretty soon, of the ships landing and morphing, and I'll be meeting with him again real soon to talk about some of the more ultra-dimensional information and kind of share notes. We seem to have had much similar experiences of the same type of beings are coming in, the ultra-dimensional beings, and they look identical, their message is identical, so it's pretty amazing, you know, the sharing of the information here. Is there anything else you wanted to add to the conference, Shalma?
Well, the one thing is this conference is beyond just the human beings here. I think there's a tremendous amount of orbs, like you said, and ultra-dimensional beings that are present. And we're creating an energy that's going into the morphogenic field of the Earth to help to bring the transformation here. We will be doing it again next year, probably in June. And I invite all of you to be part of this and come to James also.
And we'll have this up, you know, definitely we'll have the new information up on the website.
Yeah.
Tell people about the next conference. We haven't even thought about our next conference yet. I'm still recovering from the last one. You know, but
I'm gonna take a couple weeks after this to recover.
Yeah, you have to. People don't realize how much pressure there is when you're doing a big conference like that, and you have 200 to 400 people showing up, and everybody's needs, and it's really all on your shoulders, even though you do have some help and some volunteers and things. It kind of the buck stops with the organizer, unfortunately.
Well, and you're also holding the energy of the whole conference.
Mm-hmm. They're dealing with a little drama.
Sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was dealing with some of the dramas, and I'm not even the producer here. And I'm going, wait a minute. I already did this. I did this last July, you know. It's, I kind of told them it's not my problem, you know. But anyway, but things got straightened out.
Yeah. One other thing I would say is if you've never been to Mount Shasta, come and experience this incredible mountain, the energy here.
You know, people have talked a lot about what goes on underneath Shasta, about Telos and the city, and have you had any experiences up there concerning that or have heard of firsthand experiences?
I've never been there, like, physically, but when I was 13, I had a dream. When I was living in Ohio, I was taken by a spaceship to the north side of Mount Shasta. We landed on a flat rock. The rock went down like a fast elevator to an inner city. They didn't tell me what the name of it was.
Uh-huh.
But two beings greeted me, and they took me all around the city. And the last thing they said to me is, one day you'll be here because you're a guardian.
Uh-huh.
I woke up, and 18 years later, I made it to Mount Shasta. Here I am doing this conference. But I have heard other people who claim to
Yeah. Now my own experience, I haven't told too many people about it, but I was up meditating on a Mount Shasta with a group, and there's a lot of the people down below on the first level at the top of the mountain, and we went up much higher. And after I was meditating for 3 or 4 hours, I decided to come down the mountain. And I saw a woman dressed in very like chiffon type flowing gown. And very tall, blonde, beautiful woman. And I was looking at her, and she was quite a distance away, and she knew I saw her, and she nodded at me, and she was walking down the road in front of us. And I just knew I was supposed to connect with this woman and talk to this woman. I was very drawn to her on an inner level. And so I was kind of moving down the road pretty fast, a little trail there to try to catch up. And she walked by our group on the bottom, about 8 or 9 people sitting around a picnic table, and held her hands out like she was blessing them with some kind of energy. And then I got closer and closer to her, and I was really coming down there to find out who she was and what she was doing, because I could sense a really high vibration in this woman, even from a distance. And she just, there was a rock just a little further down, and she turned around and walked, and she walked behind this rock, and I could see both sides of the rock, and there was nowhere for her to go. She walked behind the rock and vanished. And right before she vanished, she nodded and walked behind the rock and disappeared. And you know, really, I'll never forget that to this day, because I really do believe that was one of these really advanced beings that are living within the mountain, because there's nowhere. I mean, I kept my eye on that rock till I walked up to it, and there's no way possible. You know, she could have slipped away, you know, or ran off or anything else. I would have seen her for sure. But I had some pretty incredible experiences on that mountain, and I'm finding that the two mountains are so similar.
Very similar.
I showed him my presentation, Mount Adams, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, Shasta. And I go, no. And I said, what does this look like? And everybody's going, oh, that's Mount Shasta. I said, no, it's not. It's Mount Adams. You know, and they had a hard time believing that it wasn't Mount Shasta.
Yeah, that's been my experience up at your ranch, when just kind of looking down or something, and out the corner of my eye, I see the mountain, and then I look and, oh, it's not Mount Shasta.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably get like a deja vu. You're walking around and you're thinking, wait a second, where am I again? You know, I did that too when I was on Shasta, walking around up there. I came up there the last trip through here, and I was up there walking around, camped out, and I woke up, looked out the window, and I go, oh, wait a second, I'm not in Washington. Yeah, like, it was pretty interesting. But it is very similar. There seems to be the same group that's under Shasta, seems to be under Mount Adams, and the same UFO activity is going on. And it seems to be very connected.
Yeah.
You know, the two places are very, very connected.
I think they both have a entryway to the inner earth.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, there's definitely something.
One other experience.
Going on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Amber.
One other experience that I didn't have, but a friend of mine told me before I moved to Mount Shasta, up where I live, up on the mountain, or used to live, it's a very sacred place, and there's a knoll where I took James, and we shared for several hours up on that knoll. And his friend told me he was driving up the mountain. He noticed this young man that was naked running along the side of the road toward the knoll. And he ran down the driveway and up toward the knoll and ran right inside the knoll.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized, well, wait a minute. So his strides must have been 20 feet.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a bigger person. You know, mm-hmm. being.
Yeah.
But he disappeared right inside the knoll. And I was told that knoll, there's an entryway.
Mm-hmm.
Into the inner earth.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of entryways. And we just filmed one. We've been filming this one doorway, and we see this doorway open up, and it gets really bright, huge bright light. We've actually seen a cross there, a bright light, white cross, you might say, open up a couple times as well. And we've been filming some of these openings, and they're brilliantly lit, and the sun's not even up yet, and there's this incredible energy, like brilliant light, and it's got to be, I would say, almost a quarter mile wide, this one. And we had a scientist up there filming this opening even before the sun came up, and he's just blown away. He's all excited. And what's interesting is he got a, I can't remember what they call those, the messages you get on the recording,
mm-hmm.
You know, when they try to record ghosts of the dead or whatever.
Yeah.
And he got this message on the camera, and it was only in one channel. It wasn't in both channels or any of the other channels. It was on one side in one channel. And it said, thank you, and then it said, now they can see it. And I think it said, thank you, Carrie, and said his name.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually sent a message to him while he was filming this, and it showed up on the camera later. So I don't know why I can't remember the name of that technique. But they take something VP or something like that, or way of recording, you know, ultra-dimensional or discarnate spirits or whatever, but it was pretty strange. But, you said we're going to wander around out here a little bit and talk to a few other people here at the conference and see what they're up to. Wandering outside to some of the vendors and see if they want to talk a little bit about what they're doing. Put them on the spot here. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're closer, so we're going to have Eden here talking about what Eden does.
What Eden does? That's a long subject.
Yeah.
One aspect of what Eden
does. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, anything you want to talk about, it's a free world here.
Okay.
So, it's As You Wish Talk Radio, and we're just going out and interviewing different people here, and you can talk a little bit about your goals or what you're experiencing here, or you can talk about the products you have, the wonderful... What would you call that? It's like dried food, but it's more than that.
Well, they're designed to be convenient, healthy snacks for people. Both for people who want to change into a healthier lifestyle and then go raw food to have something on the road.
And that dried vegetable snack that you have, that's like I guess, are you supposed to add water and make a soup out of it or something? But it's too good. It's too good the way it is, yeah.
It's designed to be easy, so you don't have to.
It's like really healthy potato chips, you might say. They're all made out of vegetables and everything else, and it's dry. But, you know, it's really good, though. You know, a lot of the stuff you eat, and you just go, well, that was dead. You know, but I think it's good for me.
Right.
But this was actually really good. I was amazed.
Yeah.
And I think with a lot of the packaging that you have and the food and how powerful it is, and we talked earlier about one of my dreams was to make this perfect food, and Edgar Casey talked about it and had figs and dates and oatmeal, and it was all mixed together, and it was like a power food that you could carry with you and for any kind of emergency or whatever and live off of it. And then I looked at one of your products, and it had all the ingredients that I was wanting to put together, so...
And it's actually based on, I don't know if you heard Sir Talk speak, but he was talking about, Patrick Flanagan actually, talking about Phi.
Yeah.
And Phi Sciences. And the Phi is basically what that is based on. food, basically.
Yeah.
And how to put things together synergistically, and then how it interacts once it's in the body. Because a lot of times food is analyzed outside of the body, and
you don't really know
how it actually interacts once it's in the body. And that's
exactly
a whole new science that they're now studying.
Same thing with medicine. You know, people don't even realize what it's doing on the inside of the body. And it's also affected by different cycles and moon cycles and everything else.
And then blood types.
Exactly,
there's so many aspects of it. So.
Well, I thought it was awesome. When I had some of it, I just said, oh, my God, somebody already did it. You know, I'm sure there's other products out there, but this one was pretty awesome. Now, how would they get a hold of you if they wanted to get that? Now, one of the things I would highly recommend with some of the things coming up, we're definitely going to have some changes and earth changes coming up in the future. And with the food products you have, they're good for a few years plus, and they're amazing. They're really healthy. And, there's no sense in going through these changes in any kind of lack or without food or anything else.
Right.
And it'd just be smart to have a pack of that in your trunk or in your basement or wherever.
Yep.
And so,
I would recommend basement doors.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somewhere cool. Exactly.
Doesn't get dried out too much.
Now, how would, they go about or in that or getting, finding out more about these products?
I have would I give an 800 number? I'll give you my 24/7 phone number, which is
okay.
Voicemail. You can always leave a message on the net.
That would be great. And if you're heavy breathing, that's just me.
Okay. And that's area code 310.
Okay.
859-5509. Again, that's 310-859-5509. And then I do have an 800 number. I don't use it much, but if someone has an issue with calling a long distance number,
they put it on their dime.
It's 877 you got chi.
Oh, 877 you got chi,
which is the letter U, and GOTCHI.
Oh, awesome.
And chi is basically the life force energy, and our foods are based on bringing the most life force to and vitality to the human body. But it's also based on the principle of doing, there's seven principles of health that we embody, and that's only one aspect of it, loving relationships.
I noticed that when I ate some of the products you had, my body was actually craving it. It really recognized it as being really good, and it's like a craving, and that's when you find out when we have something like that, your body actually recognizes, saying, this is really good. I think I already powered down that whole thing of vegetable chips or whatever.
Well, that's sort of how we got started, and I that's how I got into being a raw foodist. I was eating these foods, and all of a sudden I started craving very different foods than what I used to crave. Instead of pizza, I was craving cucumbers, and chocolate, I was craving apples, and it really changed the way I resonated with food.
Mm-hmm.
So food has a frequency.
And
if you're vibrating a higher frequency, then you're going to start to, your body will recognize it, and eventually the wisdom of the body kicks in.
I noticed I work with biophysicists and people that are top brains on the planet, and all of them say the same thing: food should be your medicine.
Yes.
And, we need to get away from all the synthetics and all these other things that aren't really doing anything other than creating a dependency and making certain people very rich. But we always work, on trying to do things as close to nature as possible. And even with the spirituality, we try to focus mainly on doing things in a natural way, without any kind of drugs or anything else being the catalyst for it. Because when you do that, then the drugs are in control. It's like, taking a V8 and putting it in a little Volkswagen and punching it. You may not be able to handle the thrust or the where you're going. You're not prepared for it, and you can get into a car wreck real easy. By using that. But just by eating right and doing your spiritual practices and things, you can get as high as you want to go.
I always say that there's many paths to the higher frequencies that we want to attain, and diet is one way, there's other ways too, but they tend to all go together. But no matter where you start, it ends up, you end up going to the same, one way or another, either your diet will change or you start meditating, your diet will change. Or your diet changes and then you start meditating. But somehow it always ends up, as you raise your frequency, everything starts to come together.
Yeah. I always know you can do from the top down to the bottom up.
Exactly.
It has to be this way. And I go, well, there's many paths, they all end up in the same place, you know.
And I have a website too, by the way.
Okay, yeah, what's your website?
Probably the easiest one. I have several, but the easiest one is Miss Kiss List is probably the easy one. MissKissCliss.
Nice. .com. I can relate to that. Okay, so now that my mind is like totally spinning here with all kinds of images and visions.
Oh, maybe I should have given a different website. I also have YouGotG.com.
Okay, yeah, either one works.
That's YOUGOG.
No, I love that. I mean, that's great. All right.
Hey,
do you want to go on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
She has amazing work that she does.
Yeah, this is Ashley Rich Talk Radio. It's my show, and we're just interviewing people that have been at the conference.
Oh, cool.
And by the way, my name is Eden Grace, and I send you all lots of light and blessings through the radio.
Great.
And here is Justina. Where is the stairs?
Justina, this is heard all over the world, basically. An internet radio show. It's probably one of the largest ones right now. It has a huge listening base, so... So now that we're totally on the spot.
Well, thank you, James. Thank you so much.
You can talk about anything you want to talk about.
Well, really mostly what I have to talk about is this spiritual gift that I've been given to share in this life, which is to help us evolve more gracefully.
That would be nice.
So basically, this principle is natural for everyone. That's the good news.
Yeah.
It's not a special gift just for me. And it is a spiritual principle that accesses the state of unity without meditating, without thinking about anything, without having to have a belief system, without having to stand on your head and spin around three times. How did it work?
But,
yeah.
And so, like an in the moment, just stay present type of situation.
Well, it is, and there, as many people are beginning to realize, there are natural areas of life that have been hidden because of the state of consciousness that we've been in. And so, this is a spiritual principle for graceful evolution that's been hidden from humanity during this time. We've been learning conscious freedom. It's not like we've done anything wrong or been punished. It's been that, you know, if we were still living in the womb, we wouldn't have had too much interest in making other choices.
So we haven't been like bad doobies and cast down here.
No. No, in fact, I'm glad you said that, James, because that brings me to something that has felt very important to share in the last year or so. And, you know, I have this wonderful gift to share with people, but often what comes to mind is how can we be even more receptive to all the blessings that are offered. So my support for people goes like this. Freedom is our nature. And so the learning of conscious freedom is the imperative of our life. And so if we could take all the things we've ever done, and all the things humanity has ever done, and put those in this arc that is journeying toward conscious freedom, and realize that we're on a very noble journey to fulfill creation, then perhaps if we can realize that, we can let go of the unworthiness and the guilt that we might feel about the human experience, and realize that this journey to learn what it is to be consciously free is something that must happen, so that we can live the free and loving nature of who we really are.
So without fear and guilt and unworthiness, how are we going to control the map?
Oh, I don't think we'll need to at that point.
There'd be no more like God salesmen or in-between people. Everybody have their own God connection. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
That works for me.
Everyone will be their own God self.
Yeah. But then you know, we have to totally shatter that illusion from omnipresence, you know, where everybody thinks they're separate, you know, and running around in these little competitive games that we're doing right now, and my way is the way, my image or my doctrine, and all those old programs. What I've known in my own experience is that in order to really reach the higher realms of consciousness, you have to transcend all religious and all cultural boundaries and get beyond all that and just shift into seeing God in everyone and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because all of those things are about belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like life is calling us all into the direct experience of
yeah.
what's happening right now. So as you're saying, if we can trust ourselves to be in that experience directly
mm-hmm.
and be aware of what's going on, then the actual presence of spirit that we are will make itself
mm-hmm.
known.
Sounds good to me. I got to tell you this, Joe. Did you hear about the human that thought he was separate from omnipresent?
I haven't. Is there one?
You get it. Yeah.
Well,
most of me just look at you like, what? But, you know, it's kind of like the joke in the cosmos, you know, it's about the human that thought he was separate from omnipresent, you know, that's running around doing all this, you know, competitive me thing, you know. And wait a second, there is no separation omnipresent. There's this big unified field we're all in. There's, you know, there's no divisions in God, as quoted in the Bible, you know, and, you know, but they just don't get it. They, for some reason, they miss the obvious.
Well, it's because they're not having, I think it's because they're not having a direct experience of what you're saying. And actually, that is part of the function of the principle that I share, is that it brings to us a more natural environment of the spiritual nature.
Yeah.
So that people can spontaneously and easily have an experience of more of the spiritual reality of who they are, of who nature is, of what life is. And if we could just take those words, God and spirit and life, and smush them all together,
yeah.
we would have ourselves.
I mean, yeah, there's over 11,000 religions and with images, and people had experiences, and they wrote them down, and then they gathered people around them, you know. And it's just amazing when you think about it, and you go, okay, whose image was correct, you know, which doctrine is correct. And but if you put all the images and all the doctrines and all the experiences together, it's all God. You know, everything outside that box or that religion or that image is God too. But it's so hard to figure that out, you know, because they cloister into these herd, like, you know, groups.
I used to say that religion is deals with different holidays.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And there's a great story I want to quickly tell you. Well, it's obviously not a, you know, real story, but there's God and Satan are talking one day.
Oh, yeah.
And God has this luminous light in his hands, and it's, or her hands, or its hands, and it's this gorgeous, sort of what you were talking about, this
mm-hmm.
grace of light. And
mm-hmm.
And he's holding it in his hands, and it's you get the feeling like it's emanating
yeah.
and everything around.
Where's
and
why?
And Satan comes by,
okay.
quote unquote, and says, you know, what's that? And God says, oh, this is truth.
Oh, yeah.
And Satan goes, gosh, you know, cool. It's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you give it to me? I'll organize it for you.
Yeah. We'll hide it within the hearts of all humanity. They'll never find it there.
I wanted to go back to something you said, James, about the images, because one of the things that I think keeps people trapped in the belief system of the physical experience
mm-hmm.
is that all of these different gods have these physical personas, whether it's Ganesh or Kuan Yin
mm-hmm.
or the old man with the gray hair and the beard.
Yeah.
You know,
Anunnaki. That's where the bearded god came from, the Anunnaki.
Okay, you know, later.
Yeah.
And people are believing that physical persona is the presence of God,
yeah.
then their unconscious, so-called unconscious, will be patterning itself after
mm-hmm.
yet one more image that's third-dimensional mm-hmm. reality and very, very limited.
Yeah, but who created them? That's where we have to go.
Exactly.
Back to the original source, which is the Big Bang or the zero point. But then again, there's another force behind that.
Well, I feel like that's all part of the journey of this
mm-hmm.
learning of conscious freedom.
I mean, this is really outside the box, but you can't have a creation like the Big Bang and everything radiating outward without having a generative side of it. So you have to have two sides of the equation. So the generative side actually contracts and gives birth through the zero point to the radioactive universe. But physicists don't want to talk about that because that's the divine feminine that they don't want people to know about. They just want this Big Bang and everything radiated outward, you know, and they forgot, hey, don't forget your mama, you know, don't forget the other side of the equation. You know, they missed that part of it.
It's interesting you bring up the divine feminine because really this nourishing principle for graceful growth comes straight from the core of the divine feminine, which is really just one aspect of the unified field. And so one of the really amazing things for me has been that there's a whole other level of, it's really like going back to the cosmic womb and having an opportunity to regenerate as a child of faith. Even though that perfection is inherent, most people are not experiencing that here in our experience of time and space. But right here in the midst of the time and space experience, this amazing nourishment from the divine feminine will restore the natural order, which is the pyramidal structure of light in the cells, and it will manifest a whole new garment of light, which is a tangible foundation in the spiritual nature of nature. And I feel like that's what we're evolving into. We're not falling apart. We're not going to dissolve into the big Ganesh of, you know, nothingness. We are divine expressions of the one great spirit, and we will each continue flowering infinitely and uniquely.
I've always felt this is one of the things they have backwards, and I've gone round and round with yogis on this one, because I know a lot of yogis that we talked earlier that died of cancer, and they say the body's nothing, it's dust, ignore it, you know, and it's nothing. Well, their bodies do turn to dust because that's their belief system. But, you know, I see that God is nothing and everything. It's like manifest and unmanifest.
Yeah.
And the way to ascension is actually bringing God into the physical, creating the frequency in the physical body, which actually allows the body to rise in frequency and take off. But if we keep condemning the body and the physical reality as something other than God or less than or whatever, then that's our experience. But the path to ascension is actually the opposite of what a lot of people
I think it's about living who we are here and now. And the other point about what you're making that is a great point of confusion for people, I feel, is they're forgetting that what we experience as physical is a manifestation from the focal point of our lessons in duality.
Mm-hmm.
And so as our consciousness changes so that we really inhabit the unity of our nature, the manifestation, which is the body, will evolve into that spiritual manifestation.
Yeah, I agree.
Always in harmony.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm going to move on to some other...
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, great.
Everyone else...
Oh, do you have a website that people...
Yes. Well, it's being reconstructed, but
okay.
At the moment it is www.allspelledoutoneworldheart.com.
Great.
/Sestina. S-H-A-S-T-I-N-A. And thank you for your sharing and your commitment, James.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, very good.
Can you talk a little bit about the work and introduce yourself and the work that you're doing here at the...
Yes. My name is Ranan Shahar. I'm a licensed acupuncturist from Los Angeles. And I'm here to do a very special work that has to do with aligning the first cervical vertebra called the atlas, put it in the correct place once and for all. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime treatment for most people. And I heard you talking about the physical body, and actually my job, and that's what I was told when I was in the very sacred cave in Kauai, and this thing came to me.
Kahuna came back.
And what I was told that my job is to prepare the physical body for the ascension.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm helping to raise the frequency of the human being, because that constriction up there keeps human beings vibrating under lower frequency.
Now, I heard another name for that is like Heaven's Gate. When you open that vertebrae up, it opens you up to the higher consciousness and energy and stops a lot of the blocks and things that people are running.
That's right. True. The Chinese have called it the gate between heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish tradition, in the mystic Kabbalah, this bone is called the loose bone. Now, not in English, loose, but...
I wish mine was loose. Yeah. Oh, you're going to fix that later.
Right. But what's happening... the Jews, believe in reincarnation and so forth, and they bury the dead without a coffin,
mm-hmm.
so the body can,
come back to
the soil. So the atlas, this bone, interesting enough, is the only bone that doesn't disintegrate. And they believe, the Jews believe, that this is the resurrection of the person is going to come from that bone. So it's an interesting view of one.
Yeah.
There's many cultures around the world that gives a lot of importance to this bone. Others call it the Christ consciousness bone and so forth. So it's very interesting to see how different traditions around the world have been so much importance to that connection between the brain and the rest of the body.
And most people are out in that area. I know I am. I could tell that even before you started working on me, I could tell the top was out.
Right.
And most people are out in that area. So it's actually blocking them from accessing the higher consciousness and energy, you might say, so they can't really function on the earth like they're like a human being should, you might say.
Exactly. Hey, when you look at the at what's happening on this planet for the last few thousand years,
I'm trying not to look at it right now,
and still going on, and what human beings have been doing to each other, and still are, all the wars and the killing and the bloodshed, and now human beings.
Oh yeah.
Something is wrong. We're supposed to be the crown of creation.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be an example for all the other creatures. Yet we are, you know.
Kind of like the pit right now of creation, the way we're operating now.
Exactly. And so a lot of it is because that constriction up there that keeps us on a low frequency. And there are a few different theories to why it is like that.
Yeah.
But when you look at the different cultures and different scriptures around the world, even in the Bible, we were in human beings were in the Garden of Eden, we were kicked out of that. What happened?
Yeah.
A curse, you know? So
that snake and the apple were being, you know, a lot of other cultures, they said, you know, what's wrong with America? They based their entire religious belief around an apple and a snake and a woman biting it, and then now you're everlasting condemned to hell or something.
Right,
I don't know. You're an everlasting sinner just because some apple episode, you know? It doesn't work for me, you know? I think there's a little more to the story. I think we kind of fell and got caught up in survival and a lot of the lower frequencies and returning now.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, so one story is about the, you know, the Anunnaki manipulating the human beings, genetic manipulations, to keep them as a slave race, you know. And that's one story, you know. There can be other stories. I'm not saying that this is it, you know.
That's a 430,000-year-old story, and there was 28 million-year-old stories before that. We're very advanced beings. We're here, so we're a very big, you know, genetic cosmic soup down here, you might say.
Right. Exactly.
You know, we can't just go by one story and say, well, we're all victims because these Anunnaki guys tinker our DNA.
I totally agree with you, by the way.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you.
And, you know, DNA isn't fixed either, and they've proven that. Your DNA actually responds to your consciousness, your environment, and the fields around your body. So DNA is not the brain of cellular reproduction. It's actually like more the gonads. And Bruce Lipton's work has proved that over and over again, that our cell, there's antennas on our cell wall on the outside that perceive the energy around the body and our environment and everything else and adapt to that. So it's totally different. We're these perception-driven units walking around that can alter our physical body just by our conscious field.
You know, I totally agree with you. And that came to me the other night. I don't know. It just came to me. I said, well, this is... all this DNA is a whole bunch of antennas in our body to receive information. So I got, it was clear to me what I'm doing, because really I'm not working only on the atlas. I'm working
more
on
energy
the grid of the human body, actually using a lot of the ancient acupuncture points, but specific ones of them that are like portals of energies. And all I'm doing is opening those portals so we can receive the information and energy from the unified field, from everything. It opens it up so we can be, so there's no obstruction.
Yeah.
There's so much obstruction there.
Well, they proved over and over there's not enough genes to operate the body. They're looking for like, I think it was at least a couple hundred genes or more, and I think they found 30. And they're saying, wait a second, there is not enough genes to operate the body. This is totally illogical. And then they said the body is actually governed by some outside force that is holding the body together and running the body. because there's not enough genes to do it, and which ties right into everything else, that,
right.
that your consciousness is actually operating this body. And I always felt DNA, if you understand the vibrational continuum, everything goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass. And so the DNA is just a code. It's been written from it's come down from an energy or from a light or a consciousness. That's how the code was written.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually just rewrite the code if we desire, because the code is actually written and altered by our own consciousness, the fields around our body. And so by changing our consciousness and also, too, it's getting the gates open like the work that you do
right.
actually allows that flow to come in and help transmute
exactly.
the body and alter it.
Yeah.
You know, from the big typewriter upstairs, you might say.
Right. Hey, what you're saying is totally makes sense to me. I mean,
uh-huh.
I haven't talked to you before, but I mean, you know,
I just made all this up. By the
way. But it's really incredible because that I feel the same way. And I'm getting, you know, that's all I'm doing. I'm just allowing the information
oh, yeah.
for the physical body, because the expansion of consciousness, it's very hard to expand your consciousness when you're in pain.
Oh, yeah.
You're suffering
yeah.
because it's constriction. You cannot
yeah.
receive anything. You know, you just want to get rid of the pain
mm-hmm.
and of the discomfort. But if we can live in our body comfortably and we feel good
yeah.
in our physical body and then in our emotional body and our
yeah.
mental body, then we can expand consciousness and from the
oh, yeah.
heart.
When you're sick and in pain, that's a real detractor from spirit, from consciousness, because
yeah.
that's your focus.
That's your focus.
And your body is just telling you over and over again, focus here, focus here, focus here.
Right.
So, you know, it's very important to get the body organized and straightened out and take care of the pain and the physical.
Right.
And
right.
you know, the old thing, you don't preach to a starving man. You know, you feed him first. And it's the
right.
same. Heal
right.
the body, and they
right.
can go hand in hand, the spiritual practices. But
right.
if you're in pain, it's going to very much distract you from
yeah.
from opening to the higher consciousness and energy.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing, opening the healing, because that healing is to the physical body, but also, you know, since I had this experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, emotionally I feel so much more grounded and less reactive.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
you know? But it's all connected, you know, the physical,
oh, yeah.
the mental, the emotional, and then the
yeah.
consciousness.
I had a woman I used to know, and I after I had my near-death experience, I was just like a space case. I was just so high and walking around, and I was pretty dysfunctional on
really?
The planet.
Really?
And I had to get grounded again. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, you know, spiritual people are of no earthly good. And I'll never forget that. And I thought about it. I said, you know, I do. I need to get grounded. And even my yoga teacher said, you know, you need to eat a steak. You know, she said,
right.
you need to get your feet
right.
back on the ground. I thought that was kind of funny coming from a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
But she was just saying that because, you know, I needed to get grounded. And really here is where the work is, you know.
I agree.
Heavens are fine.
Yeah.
You know?
But here, we are here right now, and
yeah.
we come here to learn something.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly, probably we cannot learn anywhere else.
Exactly.
And to honor that and to have fun with that.
Yeah,
amazing.
Exactly.
To have fun, to live this life, to enjoy this life, and to feel that peace, and to feel that love
yeah.
that we all have in our heart. You know?
That's the thing, that powerful emotions and free will is what we gain by coming through this phase here, and you know, you have to, there's an old saying, you have to be born of the flesh before you can become the Christ. And so we have to pick up this and master this frequency here.
Right.
And then we can move through this frequency and back up. But we
right.
have to master all the levels of God or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
this is just as divine as any other level. It's just really confused right now.
right, right.
Like
right.
a lot of confused divinity walking around here going, I'm separate, you know.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Which is hopefully coming to a close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the shift that is happening now all over the all
yeah.
over this planet, and that treatment that I was talking about is a part, is a big part of that shift, because that really
mm-hmm.
helps the human beings to prepare for that, the physical body to be aligned
yeah.
and to be a part of it. And
yeah, we're still on the air here trying to figure out a few. There are things going on, so if everyone wants to call in, tell us what time it is. That would be great. No, we're just kidding. I'll go on a little bit more about that. So basically what you're doing is you're opening up like the heaven's gate.
Right.
And,
That's
kicking people on to the higher consciousness energy, and as well as other things too, opening up other meridians and
exactly. I'm blessed to work with the crowd here, with the people because it's people that are already on doing their work and
already on the path.
Oh, they're already on the path. But some of these comments that I've been getting from the people that had the treatment, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, what they say, you know, how they feel so much more connected, how they feel that it's really, you know, what I'm saying, it's everything is open up. And they feel that, you know, so I feel like I'm very blessed and honored to be able to offer this kind of work.
I'm glad you're here, and I can't wait to get my neck back in order.
Right.
It's talking to me quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
I got hung in a past life, so.
Oh, my God.
It's still hanging in there.
And it's constantly, you know, evolving also. Mm-hmm. And so I'm receiving all these, you know, messages, downloads, whatever you call it. How to refine, how to improve it, how to really make the most out of it for people, for humans, so they can furthermore open their heart.
Yeah.
Because that's my goal, to help people, you know, connect the heart to the crown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the blockages most of us have is in that, right at that level of that fifth chakra. That's where the atlas is.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the fifth chakra? It's the communication.
Yeah.
What is our problem today? Communication.
Exactly.
You know, we don't start as husband and wife not communicating well with each other,
mm-hmm.
mother and kids, father and kids, and so forth, and then it goes to the neighbors and so forth, and it goes between nations, no communication. Okay, let's go to war. That's how we solve the problem.
Yeah, it's more like big business. You know?
Right.
We don't want to communicate because that cuts into our profit margin.
Right, exactly. So, so lack of communication is a big one. And I know that this enables people to communicate from the heart. Communicate from the mind, but open the heart and communicate from a consciousness.
Yeah,
a place of love and light, and that's my goal when I work with people too.
How do they get a hold of you for this process?
They can I can give you my website.
Okay, that'd
be good. NewDawnClinic.net.
Okay.
New Dawn, like early in the morning. DAWN Clinic, CLINIC.
Okay.
NewDawnClinic.net.
.com. Okay.
Remember, it's .net, not .com. You'll take it to another site. And also, you're welcome to call our offices in Los Angeles, 310-854-4440.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're listening in any part of the country, I travel a lot to different parts of the country to offer those treatments. And also, people fly from all over the country to Los Angeles to have the treatments done.
Okay.
That's the uniqueness of what it is.
I'll get that information later, and I'll put it on my website, too.
Thank you very much.
Go and check it out.
Good.
Thank you so much for your interview.
Okay, thank you so much.
We're going to end here with Honey.
Hi there. My name is Honey, and I'm from a remote part of Southern Oregon on the east side of the Siskiyou Range.
All right. Now, you've had quite a few sightings and experiences, and you're getting orbs and just all kinds of things at your place as well. Could you talk about just a couple of the experiences that you've seen?
Probably the biggest experience I had was last December. It was December 18th at approximately 9:23 p.m.
Okay.
Something I probably would never forget. But I was sitting down, actually getting ready to watch a movie, and I heard what sounded possibly like a big rig truck. Now,
mm-hmm.
I live up about a mile and a half their driveway, and it's pretty unlikely anybody comes up to see at that time, especially in December. And so once I looked outside and realized that it was a pickup, that I kind of knew what it was because of the activity that I'd had up there previously within 2 years prior to that. But Anyway, so I ran outside to look to see what it was because I had a suspicion that it was a craft. It was a real unusual sound, and actually, it can kind of mimic the sound if you'd like to hear it.
It was like a minute, so you got to go quick.
But anyway,
we have that on our website.
The craft flew over the house. It was quite large. It was obscured by these three trees that were in my front yard. So I ran upstairs to the south window, looked out the window, and as the ship actually appeared to be turning on its side and turned and then lit kind of a spotlight, four orange-red lights toward the house,
mm-hmm.
and sat there and hovered with that low hovering hum sound, shaking the house and actually kind of shaking and vibrating my entire body while my arms are flailing out the window saying, hello, here I am. Right, exactly. Give me a ride. Take me for a cruise. But anyway, the ship must have been, I guesstimated, about 200 to 300 feet at least in length. It was so bright. Hovered was probably about maybe a quarter mile past the house, less than 1,000 feet above me, and hovered there for almost a full minute and then just vanished in the thin air. Didn't take off, no whoosh, no swish.
You know, I had almost the identical sighting up at the ranch. Mm-hmm. I mean, identical to the colored lights and everything.
It was
a very
incredible.
Large triangle ship
mm-hmm.
that came over.
There was absolutely no doubt in my mind. What crossed my mind after it had vanished was, who do I call?
Yeah.
I've got to tell somebody about this. But I've had other activity up there, too, a lot of orbs. It was pretty activated. I think it might activate the atmosphere, too.
Yeah.
And I get a lot more orb activity after a craft.
The ship come over. We have the same
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're running out of time right now, so I'll have to sign off. And I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Sure.
And Eden as well for coming
thank
and talking about those wonderful products.
Thanks.
And I'll put your information on the website, and so everybody can find out more about that.
Thank you so much.
So this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.
Much at all.